and Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Malcolm Jamal Warner, who played Theo Huxtable on The Cosby Show, has died.
I love you.
Yeah, Dad.
Huh?
I know.
Yeah. And maybe your mother loves you, too.
Warner died in an apparent accidental drowning in Costa Rica. He was 54. With a deadline approaching to make trade deals, the administration's claiming Americans will love them. But Kelly O'Grady reports in the meantime, the baseline tariffs are having an impact for businesses.
For some of these more physical products where you are manufacturing something outside the U.S. and bringing it in, we are seeing cracks.
A man whose 9-year-old daughter was found dead after he reported her abducted has now been charged.
The suspect has been charged with murder in the second degree and concealment of human corpse.
The Canadian man and his daughter were in upstate New York when he reported her missing on Saturday. On Wall Street, the S&P 500 set another record, as did the NASDAQ. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammy McCormick.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
WFHR and WIRA News, I'm Melissa Kay. A federal court ruling found Wisconsin must stop denying unemployment insurance to applicants who are also receiving Social Security disability insurance. Joanne Krulatz reports.
The court ruled that a 12-year-old state law that banned unemployment insurance for Social Security disability insurance recipients unlawfully discriminates against people with disabilities. The law was signed by former Republican Governor Scott Walker in 2013 and argued that people receiving assistance from both programs were double-dipping and potentially even committing fraud.
Wisconsin residents will begin seeing higher fees for vehicle title transfers and driver license renewals this fall. The additional fees were included in the new biennial state budget, which Governor Tony Evers hopes will generate nearly $200 million in additional revenue for future transportation spending. The vehicle title fee will increase from $157 to $207. License renewal fees will increase from $24 to $32.50. The fee changes will officially go into effect on October 1st. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources reminds visitors that state parks, forests, and recreation areas offer a variety of universal recreation options across the state. With July being Disability Pride Month, the DNR is reminding of the equipment available to borrow, such as adaptive kayaks, all-terrain wheelchairs and beach wheelchairs, and amenities such as accessible fishing piers, universal play areas, and barrier-free accessible cabins for camping. Concerns about another solar farm in the state will be discussed at a meeting in Adams County this week. A board meeting in the town of Rome is scheduled for 2 p.m. on Thursday, July 24th. They want to ensure the Public Service Commission and the solar company, NextEra Akron, will actually hear what people have to say. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
It's the Brewers and the Mariners. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers landing in Seattle last night. They open a 3-game set tonight against the Mariners. The Brewers, the hottest team in baseball. They've won 10 in a row. They beat the Dodgers yesterday 6-5 to complete a 3-game sweep in L.A. Now the Dodgers get media coverage from Los Angeles and networks in Japan. A reporter asked Pat Murphy, how do you beat a World Series team with Shohei Ohtani, Clayton Kershaw, with guys like Isaac Collins or Caleb Durbin?
It's a bunch of guys nobody's ever heard of. No disrespect to great fans of Japan baseball, but they can't name 5 players in our lineup. They can't name 2 in today's lineup. And that's just a credit to hungry players. And, you know, the Dodgers are running into tough luck and they're not playing their best baseball and they'll get back on track and be a juggernaut that they are. But, you know, I'm still proud of our club and what they did and, you know, how they competed in big situations. And, yeah, you know, a bunch of average Joes.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a chance of showers and storms with lows in the low 60s. And a mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow, scattered storms around, humid with highs in the mid 80s. Partly sunny, more heat and humidity Wednesday, high near 90, a few storms. Currently at 75 degrees.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared.
That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
What you desire, don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison, where I welcome director-producer John Roach, and Max Inc. Radio's Rocker joins me in studio for some Atwood Fest chat. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people. This is the Maggie Dawn Show.
They're not there to serve you and me and the family farmer. They're there beholden to billionaires and their corporate overlords.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
You see our nation fraying and fracturing.
This is not normal. This is not the country that I grew up in.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
Correct. We know better. We know better.
Clip that.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
Actually, Maggie's not here. Maggie's up north. She's still camping, and I hope she's having a nice time on this beautiful day. I'm Matt Rothschild subbing in for Maggie, along with Angela Lang from Block, who is usually my co-guest host. We like doing this together. Angela, how are you doing?
I can't complain. Thanks for having me again. Always appreciate it.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to this all weekend. And same. I'm excited to say we have an in-studio guest right now. His name is the Reverend David Cooper. For folks in Madison, you may know him as Chief Cooper because he was police chief here for many years during the Soglin era, or one of the Soglin eras anyway. Reverend Cooper, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here this evening, and hello to you.
Yeah, Angela's...
Angela out here.
Angela's a terrific activist and a radio talent. So we are interviewing the Reverend Cooper now, Angela, because he has decided himself, and I give him credit for taking the initiative, to announce a rally, a faith-based protest on August 2nd in Madison. So, David Cooper, tell us about that.
Well, this is somewhat of a long story. I'll shorten it as best I can. I got together in my kind of semi-retirement. I still help out at various Episcopal churches around the diocese here, but I've been attending at Holy Wisdom Monastery just outside of Madison here in Middleton area, a place that I've been associated with for over 50 years. In fact, our first police training academy was held out at then St. Benedict Center. And throughout my years in having my staff take retreats, we always went out there for those department retreats, which were really, really, it's a great place.
It is. You know,
very spiritual.
We did a little sanctuary work back in the 80s there at Holy Wisdom. So.
Yes, yes. So those of us who attend the Sunday Assembly, which is a group of about 100 and some people, mainly older, I always say, but we're unfortunately white from the front and gray from the back. Mm-hmm. But we have certainly tried through the years to have open doors. They're not under the Diocese of Madison, so they're a separate Benedictine group, of which I'm also an oblate. And we started thinking about, you know, we need to make a stand. So we've got Lutherans among us that said, well, we've got Bonhoeffer and we've got Martin Niemöller, who talked about, you know, there's nobody left when they came for us. So let's try to have sort of a confessing statement. And that became Here We Stand. And then the four other people, kind of semi-retired clergy, also academics and teachers, a group of five. People say, well, what shall we call the group? And I said, jokingly, of course, well, let's be the Gang of Five, which will recall us to Maoist days, right? Those of us who are somewhat more aged would remember that. So we brought this and started discussing this and with a lot of input. And eventually, over the course of two Sundays after worship, we achieved a Quaker-like consensus for this document, and which was a great achievement. I said, you know, herding cats is difficult, but herding real smart cats is really more than difficult. And these are very smart cats. So in our frustration about what to do next, they said, well, you got to get this out. And so press conference, I said, something to me said, you know, talking heads don't do it. We've got to have something. And we're meeting with some other church leaders and kind of like, well, we really should have a newsletter, and maybe we should have some workshops on Christian nationalism and other things that our general position came to seek to, you know, resist government cruelty, covering a whole batch of issues there. So in my frustration, I was walking out to the car, and one of my colleagues, I said, we've got to do something. And he said, well, Dave, it looks like you're just going to have to take up your cross. And I got in my car, and I'm driving home. I said, oh my gosh. I called my friend. We went down to Menards Lumber and got two huge 8-foot by 6-inch posts, and we made this cross, and it weighs 250 pounds.
Well, that's going to be a lot to carry on August 2nd.
So everybody said, well, who's going to carry this cross? And I, it was designed so that I can't do this. I can't do this anymore. So we're going to have some help. And then that kind of rolled out, well, what would that look like? And then I was, I tend to be very impatient. Let's get this going. So we finally negotiated that we'd have a couple of weeks and we'd talk about this and kind of where we are right now, where we have invited most all of the various interfaith religious leaders around Madison and some of the key pastors in our area. And we understand that it's difficult. I mean, for Jewish people, it's the Sabbath. It's a Saturday. So we just ask them to pray for us. And should they do something, we would like to be a participant there. Perhaps maybe using another symbol would be the cross of David or the Star of David. That would be something we could do.
And the event, just to clarify, is August 2nd, 11 o'clock, starting at Library Mall, right? And yep, marching up to the Capitol?
Right down the State Lake, and we're gonna drag that cross up there. And they say, well, what if we don't have enough people? And I said, well, we'll just have to stop, rest, and ask some people on the sidewalk, would they come and help us carry it a few more feet? And we'll eventually, you know, get it up to the Capitol. And then the idea came that also that this would be a silent march. We'd just sort of define ourselves from people who say, "Oh, are those Christian nationalists there?" And I would hope that the clergy there would be wearing, you know, vestments and stoles, so we know that usually when the Proud Boys took the cross, they didn't have clergy around helping carry it. So we think it's a visual event that people will remember, and we're talking about things like militarism. We're talking about damage to our climate. We're talking about policies that simply hurt other people, and we are also, you know, talking about this, the whole business about the dismantling step by step of our democracy.
I'm Matt Rothschild with Angela Lang here. We're speaking with Chief David Cooper, Reverend David Cooper. People know him here in Madison. He's always been a bit of a spiritual leader, even when he was police chief. And he's now leading this rally in Madison on August 2nd, this faith-based rally.
It resists the policies that harm immigrants, the poor, and the vulnerable, and war, militarism, and the use of violence, and resisting Christian nationalism and authoritarianism and the destruction of our environment, and affirming really great things like truth, democracy, human dignity, world peace, care for the earth. So it's quite a platform. You're getting a little bit of blowback because of the use of the cross. Do you want to counter that?
Yeah, it's difficult because most people say when they see the cross, they're thinking Christian nationalists. And I have to admit that since 2020, I mean, I see the flag, I wonder what that's about. So to use a different symbol that has been, you know, part of Christianity for 2,000 years is going to be really difficult. So what we've tried to do, and I've tried to explain this thing, is you know, the words of Jesus in the gospel talks about, you know, take up your cross and follow me. So we're thinking about, well, what is an individual's cross? What is it? And the way I try to define this, this is your set of everything that's important to you, what you believe in, what you're willing to stand up for, what you're willing to suffer for. And I think I hope we all have that value set that, you know, sort of like, on this we stand and I don't retreat. We used to talk about that in the police department a lot, about what's important, what are we standing up for? You know, what is it that we're not going to retreat from, and what is it that we're going to stand our ground? And so we're trying to seize the cross back and say, look, it's our cross. You want to use it, fine, but this is not what it's all about. You know, it's all about taking care of the vulnerable people, the least among us. You know, it's about what Jesus talked about in the 25th chapter of Matthew, or the great parable about the king. And he said, you know, the king said, well, where, you know, did you take care of me when I was sick, when I was tired, when I was in prison, when I needed help? When was it? And then the king says, well, as you've done to the least of these in my kingdom, you've done to me. So it's kind of a golden rule thing, that which all the world's religions have, one form or another of the golden rule. That would be something we could always come together, no matter what the faith is, and they all say, don't do to others as you would not have them do unto you, or do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So I think there's a common set. And when we take that common set of all the world's religions, that thing that we call the golden rule, and apply it to what's going on in Washington, it's not right. It's not normal. Something's wrong. And then we're quiet. I don't know the last time I ever saw a bunch of Christians coming together that are progressive. It's generally the more conservative people on issues of abortion or about trans issues or gay issues or something. But it's really not about the fundamental principles of what it is you believe. Who are you?
Yeah, I know there was a little bit of progressive Christian. There was a movement during the LGBT rights movement, during the women's rights movement, certainly during the civil rights movement. You had Martin Luther King marching with Abraham Joshua Heschel and yes, religious leaders across the board. And I'm excited about this rally you have, David Cooper, on August 2nd in Madison at 11 o'clock at Library Mall, marching up to the Capitol to talk about the things that are so out of whack right now with the Trump administration. So scary, frankly. And fear. Scary also with the rise of white nationalism. And so it's really important for people to get out and join this protest if you can, if you're in the Madison area, on August 2nd. It's 11 o'clock there at Library Mall, marching up to the Capitol. David Cooper is the former police chief here in Madison. He is an Episcopal reverend and a spiritual leader here in Madison. And we're delighted to have him in the studio here on the Maggie Dawn Show. We've got a commercial break coming up. David, I want you to hang around because I also want your view of what happened in L.A. with the National Guard and with the Marines, who I just understand are leaving L.A. today. It's about time. But you wrote a whole book on this and you practice it when you were a chief. I want to get your sense about what's happening there. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild with Angela Lang and Reverend David Cooper, former police chief here in Madison. We're talking about his rally coming up on August 2nd and about policing in America right now. Stay tuned.
locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hi, I'm Ashley, a certified radio digital executive. With decades of experience working with small businesses and owning my own, does digital marketing make you feel overwhelmed? Sometimes there are so many choices and packages to choose from. You could just sign up for everything and the kitchen sink, but there's a better way. Call me at 715-496-0710 and I can build the perfect package for your business.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. An unwelcome surprise for Wisconsin farmers looking to apply for the Federal Rural Energy for America program, or REAP. The popular program helps rural small businesses and farmers invest in money-saving energy efficiency upgrades and clean energy. But the application window that was supposed to open July 1st was abruptly closed by the USDA. The agency says it's delaying the grant application window. The EPA is awarding a $700,000 grant to help Kenosha County pay for the final phase of restoration of the Pike River. Crews are restoring banks and habitat along the river and planting native pollinator-friendly plants. The project is aimed at improving the quality of water flowing into Lake Michigan. For a deep dive into environmental issues impacting Wisconsin, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mornings on WFHR.
A crash that covered an interstate in boxes of mozzarella cheese.
Oh, no.
Oh.
So this is one of those things that if it happened in front of me, God help me that there's a rational, smart adult next to me.
That you tells see me going in, James, like, sticking James, boxes of
yes,
mozzarella.
James, you leave that where it is. You leave that where that is, James. It's free mozzarella. I immediately turned into my father.
Mozzarella gate.
Weekdays from 9 to 11 on WFHR.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild with my co-host, Angela Lang. We have our guest, David Cooper, in studio. You can join the conversation at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. We're broadcast all across the Civic Media Radio Network. And we do have a caller. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Troy, what you got?
Hello. Hello, Reverend, and Matt and Angela, how are you guys doing today?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. I'm doing great. Thank you. This is amazing. I can't believe you're getting flack about this because these Trumpsters bring out the flag and they bring out their religion all the time, you know, like they're following it. And it's about time. It's about time we take back the flag, and it's about time we take back the cross, and I'm so glad that you're doing this. And if you're looking for volunteers, I will come and help you carry this cross.
Oh, good. Check in with me a little bit before 11 o'clock, Saturday, August 2nd.
Okay.
Glad to
meet you
there.
All right, I will be there.
Thank you.
All right,
thank
very
you.
Good. Thank you,
Troy,
sir.
Thanks so much for your call. We thanks, really appreciate Troy. It. Angela, you had a question for the chief.
Yeah, and I think this kind of like builds on what we were talking about before the break a little bit, and especially with Troy's statements, and just curious, like, your thoughts of the role of the faith community, especially right now when people think of, you know, the far right Christian extremists and what have you, and why it is important to kind of reclaim the cross. What do you think is the role of the faith community right now?
Well, I've come from the Episcopal tradition. I was away from it a good part of my life, but I think the things that my grandmother taught me stayed with me these years, and about people and caring for people. So I think that the most important thing is that the role of a faith-based person is to stand on the edges of the city and make commentary about what the city is doing, kind of like the role of Old Testament prophets. Our job is to say, look, that's wrong. We don't want to be part of government. We don't want to be running government like many of the nationalists want to do. We believe strongly in the separation of church and state, and we would expect that the government operates in a fair and ethical manner consistent with our Constitution and our rule of law. And, that is not happening now. So I think we must, first of all, resist and speak strongly, and then collaborate with other faith groups so that there can be a movement one day within this country that this is right and this is wrong. When I look at my early days of watching the movement on the right, back in the 70s, the anti-abortion people never stopped. Never stopped. It was every single day, month after month, year after year, and that's how Roe v. Wade got overturned. They never quit. So I wonder what would happen if we, who say that we believe in these strong values, were just as vocal and just as organized out there, but there was nothing stopping them whatsoever. So we just sort of, well, government's kind of doing all right now, so we'll just be quiet. And I was also mentioning to Matt during the break that I think what happened is I think a lot of clergy have been beaten down, and they got beaten down during COVID when they actually had severe disagreements within their parishes about whether or not they should abide by national health regulations, whether they should be supporting vaccination, whether or not they should support masking, whether or not they're going to go to online services to try to keep people distant, that they got beaten up pretty bad about that. I heard some real horror stories of what went on within so-called our nice Christian parishes when it came to this. And that divide, I think, is still felt today. The fear. The fear is out there. I think the fear permeates this entire community. And that's what really started the On This We Stand or Here We Stand statement was, there's a lot of fear out there. And we don't realize it, but we're all afraid to move because we've seen what happens to people when they speak out. They get mocked, like Bishop Buddy was when she asked the president to care for people who are in need.
That was a courageous thing she did.
And it's also happened to my presiding bishop, Sean Rowe, who said, he said, the Church of the Presidents, of which the Episcopal Church was for many, many years, now must be the Church of the Resistance. And that's going to be a big change for a lot of white-collar Episcopalians in my crowd.
Yeah, I imagine there's some anxiety being produced with a statement like that and some pushback. We've been speaking here with David Cooper, who's former police chief here. He's a reverend. He is organizing a rally on August 2nd at 11 a.m. At Library Mall in Madison, marching with a big cross up to the Capitol to reclaim the cross, to denounce Trump's cruel policies across the board, especially against immigrants, the poor, and the vulnerable, and against Christian nationalism and authoritarianism, and also destroying the environment. Everybody is invited. I feel invited, even though I'm non-Christian. The chief asked me a month ago to join it, and I signed on right away. And so everyone is invited. The phone number here after the break, you can chime in, 855-752-4842, because I'm going to keep the chief here after the break. I do want his views also on the horrible ICE and Marine policing, in quotes, that's been going on in L.A. We'll be right back on the Maggie Dawn Show. The phone number is 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Angela and I and the chief will be right back.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
As Wisconsin has a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WFHR and WIRA News, I'm Melissa Kay. A federal court ruling found Wisconsin must stop denying unemployment insurance to applicants who are also receiving Social Security disability insurance. Joanne Krulatz reports.
The court ruled that a 12-year-old state law that banned unemployment insurance for Social Security disability insurance recipients unlawfully discriminates against people with disabilities. The law was signed by former Republican Governor Scott Walker in 2013 and argued that people receiving assistance from both programs were double-dipping and potentially even committing fraud.
Wisconsin residents will begin seeing higher fees for vehicle title transfers and driver license renewals this fall. The additional fees were included in the new biennial state budget, which Governor Tony Evers hopes will generate nearly $200 million in additional revenue for future transportation spending. The vehicle title fee will increase from $157 to $207. License renewal fees will increase from $24 to $32.50. The fee changes will officially go into effect on October 1st. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources reminds visitors that state parks, forests, and recreation areas offer a variety of universal recreation options across the state. With July being Disability Pride Month, the DNR is reminding of the equipment available to borrow, such as adaptive kayaks, all-terrain wheelchairs and beach wheelchairs, and amenities such as accessible fishing piers, universal play areas, and barrier-free accessible cabins for camping. Concerns about another solar farm in the state will be discussed at a meeting in Adams County this week. A board meeting in the town of Rome is scheduled for 2 p.m. on Thursday, July 24th. They want to ensure the Public Service Commission and the solar company, NextEra Akron, will actually hear what people have to say. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Well, the Kiss Cam couple is still reeling from the traumatic outing at a Coldplay concert last week. According to TMZ, Coldplay frontman Chris Martin is mortified that the couple were exposed thanks to him. Astronomer CEO Andy Byron was seen canoodling with the head of his HR department, Kristen Cabot. They probably figured it was safe to go into a crowd of 65,000 people to check out Coldplay's record-breaking Music of the Spheres tour that actually started back in 2022, when Byron and Cabot were probably still just flirting. Many think Byron will resign or be forced out of his position, and as for Cabot, if she remains in HR, she'll have to get used to people laughing when they're called into her office to be scolded. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a chance of showers and storms with lows in the low 60s. And a mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow, scattered storms around, humid with highs in the mid 80s. Partly sunny, more heat and humidity Wednesday, high near 90, a few storms. Currently at 75 degrees.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. An important topic, the increase in death by suicide by Wisconsin's elderly. Folks from Wisconsin Watch will join us and discuss. Be here.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Hey, welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild, sitting in for Maggie, as is Angela Lang, my co-host today. Angela likes to join me when I invite her. I'm glad she does, because we like kind of pursuing this conversation about where our democracy is. That's the conversation we have every time we're on, Angela,
always.
Isn't it?
Yep, always.
And you can join the conversation, too, at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. We have a caller. Mark from Prairie du Sac is on the line. Mark, what you got for us?
Yeah, Matt, you may not have heard that I got a clear cancer screening a while back.
That's great. I'm really happy for you. That's tremendous news.
So I'm at the six-month screening thing now. It bears in mind, one, to think that Roger Williams was actually advocating for separation of church and state back in the mid-17th century, that he didn't think there should be any coercion involved in faith. And as a matter of fact, right now I'm wearing a John Fugelsang slogan T-shirt that ends up with, that talks about John Jews as being a brown-skinned Middle Eastern Jew who is the ultimate woke personality from history. I mean, that his main thing was we're supposed to be taking care of one another rather than just ignoring our brothers and sisters. Because I can't imagine how many Christians there are out there now that are not condemning the alligator at Auschwitz that's going down in Florida.
Yeah,
I'll close with that.
Well, great call, Mark, and thanks as always for your thoughtful calls. I'm going to let Reverend David Cooper, Chief Cooper, respond to that. He is calling on everyone to join him on August 2nd here in Madison at 11 a.m. in Library Mall, marching up with a big wooden cross to the Capitol to protest this terror that Donald Trump is imposing on the weak and vulnerable.
Yeah, well, not by myself. I'm part of a team of four other here that have helped pull this together. But even the five of us, given our ages, we couldn't carry it up, so we depend on help. But yeah, I mean, why do those people in Europe get on that rickety those ships and go through all that hardship to come over here to this new country? I mean, they were persecuted. They know what the state can do. And when state and religion gets together, they knew exactly. And that's why we have the Constitution we have. And within that Constitution sits those Bill of Rights, which is very clear, at least to most of us, that we don't want a theocracy. Well, we want a democracy, and we need to stop it from being dismantled. And that's going on as we speak. So, if you're out there and you're thinking, well, this will blow over. Well, you really think so? No. Historically, what have we seen since January? It's gotten worse almost every month. And it's time to say, we resist. We're not going to be part of this.
Yeah, it's not like a weather storm. This is this is something imposed by human beings, and that we as other human beings need to stop. We've got a couple more callers. We've got Joe from Madison. I always like taking Joe's calls.
Great discussion, as always. Just really interesting territory, and I applaud you for starting this march. And there was a previous caller who said we have to make sure, in terms of symbols of the flag or the cross, that they don't belong to one group. They belong to all of us, and all of us get to share in the meaning of those symbols. And I just wanted to throw into the mix, it's not quite pertinent, but in some ways it is. And I remember a story from the early days of protests of the Vietnam War that there were a very small group of women, I think they were from another Mother for Peace, who early in like 64, 65, in wintertime, they were out around the White House protesting with their signs against the Vietnam War. And the story is that Dr. Benjamin Spock saw them out in winter with their boots on, carrying their signs, obviously cold and not a pleasant activity. And he was kind of, if you will, almost shamed into the idea of, if these gals can get out there and, make themselves known about closing the agony of this particular war, well, I, with where I am and what I have, can risk, if you will, all the attention I have at this point, because he was known as the baby doctor, to protest this war. So I offer it as you just don't know what's going to turn other people, what's going to make people go, okay, this really is enough, and I have to pick up a flag and start marching too. So anyway, I applaud you for the idea of this, and I'll be there. Thanks very much.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, terrific call, Joe. And I mean, it's true. I mean, as Joe was saying, I mean, Howard Zinn always taught us, Howard Zinn, the author of A People's History of the United States, mm-hmm. you never know who you're going to influence when you're protesting. Yeah. But if you don't protest, you're not going to make any change. You have no hope of making change. And that's why this is such an exciting rally and march that our guest here, David Cooper, Reverend David Cooper, former police chief here in Madison, is doing on August 2nd, 11 o'clock, Library Mall, marching up to the Capitol with a huge cross. It's an interfaith march. People of all faiths and no faiths are invited to attend, as I am, as I will be attending. And so that's, I think, a really important rally. I hope everyone will come who's in range of Madison. You can join the conversation, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. And we have another caller. Cam from Appleton is on the line. Hey, Cam.
Hey, guys. You can hear me okay, yeah?
Yeah.
Yep.
Sounds good. Thank you. So I was calling because I am wondering if you guys can offer some advice. I see right now in Rockland County, New York, where there is a lawsuit that's trying to go forward right now regarding the data from the 2024 election, possibly having it been manipulated. And it's leaning pretty heavily data-wise into, yes, it was manipulated. But the courts right now are entertaining or hearing out the motion to dismiss that was brought forward by the Rockland County Election Commission, in which they state, well, we don't need to really investigate this, even though you show evidence of it, because the election's over. You had 10 days after the election to contest this per our rules. So when a system like that fails people, what do you guys recommend people do to change that or try to progress it or strong arm it? Because
yeah, well, thanks. Appreciate the call, Cam. You know, what we need to do right now is oppose these policies of the Trump administration that are so cruel. That is, those of us who are at liberty, and I mean liberty, to protest these changes. Because if you're an undocumented person, your risk of protesting is astronomically higher than mine. I'm a U.S. citizen. I'm white-skinned. The odds that I'm going to be abducted by ICE and sent to a prison, either in Alligator Auschwitz or in who knows, El Salvador, are pretty slim. But if you're undocumented, you've got a lot of risk. So I understand if you're not going to want to protest. The rest of us who are citizens have an obligation, I believe, to protest. That's why I have Chief Cooper, David Cooper, Reverend Cooper here, because he's planning this protest on August 2nd at 11 o'clock in Madison at Library Mall, marching up to the Capitol in an interfaith protest. We've got another call. I appreciated that call, Cam. We've got a call from Mike from Muscaday. Mike, you're on the air.
Yes, I appreciate the dialogue and understand that there's some issues with abortion, and I'd like to address the Reverend in regards to abortion. And it states in the Bible that the Lord hates the hands that shed innocent blood. I'd like to have a little rebuttal with the Reverend in regards to that. How could he speak out of both sides of his mouth and call himself a Reverend? And I want to ask the other thing, too.
Well, certainly. Well, I believe it's a woman's choice. And I think from that, there are a number of restrictions that I'll buy into regarding, choosing babies' gender or late-term abortions or things. I believe that these are things that can be worked out by the medical community. So, you know, we're not going to agree on this, but that's how I see the goodness of what I believe in my faith. Now, you may see that entirely different, and you know, can we hold these two things in opposite and still collaborate on other issues? I think that would be the challenge for us. I would hope we could do that.
Thanks for the call, Mike. I mean, there are also, and I'm not a biblical scholar like the Reverend is here, but there's love thy neighbor and welcome the stranger into your home. There are other passages in the Bible that speak more directly to the issues that are at hand right now, especially with this war on immigrants that Donald Trump is waging. And it's one of the reasons, one of the causes for which the Reverend Cooper is planning this rally on August 2nd in Madison. 11 o'clock at Library Mall on State Street, marching up to the Capitol with a big wooden cross. He and others there will be helping to carry, and everybody is invited, not just Christians. It's interfaith, not just people who believe. You know, I'm the resident atheist Jew here on the air, and I'm delighted to be participating.
Well, good thing is God still loves all of us.
Well, I'll take that as insurance.
right, exactly. So maybe some sparks will come from people coming together, and we'll be moved to do other things. You know, people say, well, why the cross? Well, then do something not with the cross, but with the same issues like that, where we certainly, as human beings, we should be opposed to cruelty, and especially cruelty to children. And, you know, I always thought that as a young boy growing up in America, I remember studying the UN was just being formed in the 50s. And I remember thinking that this is really good that our government is doing something like this to helping other people in the world. And isn't that a great national policy that people will see that we're good people and we try to help people. So we dig wells and we send food to people who are starving, and we give medical treatment, and we share our technology. I think, gosh, isn't that really good? Isn't that what people of faith, not just people, good people do for other people?
We're not doing it now, though.
No, hey, we're not doing that now. Yeah.
We've got a couple minutes. I wanted to start the conversation, and if you can just stay after the break to finish it. We got a call from Gary from Madison, or a text wanting you to talk about what ICE is doing, and I had teased this for the last half hour and haven't gotten to pose the question to you. So just briefly, until the break, what was your reaction? What's your reaction to what ICE is doing, for one?
Well, it's outrageous. I run a blog. I've done this for 12, 13 years, called improvingpolice.blog. I've got over 1,600 posts. The last few have been about ICE. This is, if there was, in my perspective of being in criminal justice and being in policing for 33 years of my life, this is the dismantling of the democracy. This is how it starts. When we permit people with arrest powers to go masked, unidentifiable, and arrest people without due process, we've got a real, real bad problem. Now, granted, there's things that could happen to make immigration better, and I certainly strongly believe a person who comes to our country to commit a crime ought to go back, but we need to care for the people who are here seeking refuge.
We'll be right back with Chief Cooper, Reverend Cooper. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild, joined by Angela Lang. Number to call, 855-752-4842. We'll be right back.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's a special time at the Home Depot right now with 10% off special order carpeting. Discover stylish choices and simple prices on all special order carpeting, including special buy. Then let us install it all for you with prices starting at just 49 cents per square foot. Give your floors a stylish on-trend upgrade and save more with 10% off special order carpeting at the Home Depot. Going on now. Offer valid July 17th through August 3rd, 2025. Exclusions apply. For licenses, see homedepot.com/license numbers.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you, too, can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In February of 2024, Governor Tony Evers signed new maps for the Wisconsin State Legislature into law, putting an end to one of the most extreme partisan gerrymanders anywhere in the country. While that was a momentous achievement for democracy in the state, that wasn't the end of the story. Since then, for more than a year, Fair Maps advocates and pro-democracy activists have been looking to take the next step and propose a new plan for independent redistricting in Wisconsin that would be here for the long haul. It's a compelling, well-constructed plan that would take the job of drawing maps away from the politicians who run for office on those very maps. In this new feature story, I take a closer look inside this citizen-led grassroots effort as it goes from the idea phase to being presented to the public. Because we absolutely need a long-term solution for redistricting reform in Wisconsin so we don't end up seeing either political party gerrymander Wisconsin's maps ever again.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. Well, Maggie's up north camping. I'm here in studio. I'm Matt Rothschild, joined by my guest host, Angela Lang. And our guest for this hour, who's been nice enough to stay all hours, David Cooper, a former chief of police in Madison and a Episcopal reverend, spiritual leader here in Madison. He's planning a rally on August 2nd. At 11 a.m. in Madison at Library Mall, marching up to the Capitol with the big cross, trying to recapture the cross, confront Christian nationalism and authoritarianism, denounce Trump administration policies of cruelty, and affirm some positive values of truth and justice and love. Who could be against that? And we are talking a little bit about the former chief's attitude about what he saw in Los Angeles with ICE and in the Marines. I didn't ask you about the Marines. What was your reaction when Trump sent the Marines in?
Let me just say, I'm part of a group of five other people or four other people in putting this together. It's not all about me, but I'm not championing today this issue. But yes, you're talking to a former Marine here. My days in the Marine, we were not trained to deal with civic disorder. Mm-hmm. In many cases, state National Guards have been, they have been trained, but to put combat Marines in Los Angeles is just another political act to enrage people and to fear, get people to be afraid. I think that I think the former chief of Los Angeles and a recent article talked about that the whole way of working together, it just isn't there. And he was saying that, well, as a military person, you say to your partner, you say, cover me means you shoot anything that moves so you can move. when we in police say cover me, it means just watch out for my back as I'm moving here.
Well, there could be some bad miscommunication. Right.
And
there
could be some bad miscommunications. And just it's not organized to do that. I mean, that's generally, you know, the Civil National Guard, which would have been nice to have in Washington on January 6th.
Yeah, that's the irony. Yeah. I heard Secretary Holman the other day talking about how great all the ICE employees are. And I wanted to get your reaction because I was reading an article that said a lot of the folks employed by ICE have been not able to become police officers.
Yeah. After our Sunday assembly, we had a group of us got together talking about people who are going to come and help us during the march. And the question was, you know, she said, why are they masked? And I said, well, there's probably two reasons they're masked. Number one is, could be that, and the obvious one is that they don't want to be identified. And why don't they want to be identified could be the second reason, because they're ashamed. They're ashamed of what's going on. It is beyond my, I'm just shocked by the idea that we could allow somebody to do arrests with masks on, without a uniform, without an identification, without a rule like we've had in local policing that when you're asked, you have to identify yourself and present credentials. That is, it's a real bad sign. And I think that you'll find, if I could do a study of the recent people hired by ICE, I think you'll find my hypothesis would be there are people who could not be hired by police or are fired police officers for misconduct, and now they're rounding up vulnerable people in our country. It is, to me, it's a kind of a Ku Klux Klan. Those are people who ran masks because they didn't want to be identified and did things in which they would probably be embarrassed about.
Chief Cooper, you are 87 years old. What keeps driving you to stay involved in this search for justice?
Well, the good Lord has given me health, so I think as long as I'm able to stay vertical, I'll be out there and still continuing to write a blog and press about what I think policing should be in a democracy, and I'll continue to do that. That blog has had 750,000 views over the last 12, 13 years from 134 different countries, 1,600 posts now. So it's.
And what's the title of the blog again?
Improvingpolice.blog.
Okay, there you go.
And today is all about masked police.
Mm. Mm. So if you're listening, you can go to that. I want to reiterate that the Reverend David Cooper, Chief Cooper, and his colleagues, cohorts, are planning this very important rally on August 2nd, 11 o'clock, in Madison, Library Mall, marching up to the Capitol in an interfaith protest against Trump's cruelty and authoritarianism, against Christian nationalism, and in favor of peace and justice and love and protecting the earth. All positive things. Chief, thanks so much for being in the studio all hour and spending time with your valuable insights for us on the Maggie Dawn Show.
If not now, when?
There you go. If not me, who? So there you have it. We'll be right back after the break on the Maggie Dawn Show. Angela and I will be talking with Representative Jenna Jacobson, who is running for state Senate against Howard Markline in this effort to flip the Senate to Democratic control and more responsive representation in that district and in the Assembly and state Senate here at the state Capitol. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. Happy to take your calls, 855-752-4842 after the break, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Another blast of heat is baking much of the country. Meteorologist Grant Gilmore is tracking it.
Tampa today feeling like 107 degrees today. New Orleans feels like 104.
White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt was asked today why President Trump hasn't ordered the Justice Department and FBI to release the full collection of Jeffrey Epstein files.
The president has said if the Department of Justice and the FBI want to move forward with releasing any further credible evidence, they should do so. As to why they have or have not or will, you should ask the FBI about that.
Known to millions of Americans as Theo Huxtable on The Cosby Show in the 80s and 90s, actor Malcolm Jamal Warner has died. His friend, Kevin Powell.
It hurts anytime you lose someone, and to see someone who was so full of life, 54 is young, and that he was on a family vacation in Costa Rica. He's just like, my gosh, like, why? Why him?
He died in an apparent accidental drowning. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.